Well, hi there. This is a Sojourner coming to you from the Sojourners World Hub, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are or will be listening from around the world. In this session, we're going to be talking about relationships, and our whole life can be built around relationships. And our scripture is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. And Paul is writing to them, and he says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, of course, we were reading there from the New International Version. We do so because we want to allow all English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. Relationships. Relationships are really something when you think about it. In all that we do, we seem to need to relate to someone. And you know, when I was in the position of starting Sojourners Fellowships, and I was following the Holy Spirit and developing a brochure and then later the website and the information, I was trying to prepare a doctrine statement, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, don't put any doctrine statement. The doctrines of men divide the body." Well, you know, when you think about it, in relationships, you don't want to be divided. You want to be of single purpose. But I got to tell you, that was such a surprise to me when the Holy Spirit said that to me. It was then that I realized that doctrine is not necessarily a marching order. And then he took me to Jeremiah 23, to this section of the Woe to the Shepherds, and that really shook me up, because I thought, what in the world did I do to so upset and disappoint God that He would give me such a rebuke? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, "Tell my people they are to do what these shepherds had failed to do." And a lot of this involved relationships. He says, "The sojourners with you are to be doers and not just hearers when it comes to my word. My people are to be people of action. My action through them. Believer and unbeliever alike are to see my glory flow through them, and their sin is to see that flow through them in power." So it was then I realized that Sojourners Fellowships were not just to be another place to hear a message and then just go on about your life, which is really, frankly, what happens in most places. People will go to a church service or whatever, and they hear the message, and they think, well, that was nice or whatever, and then they go home. Or maybe they didn't think that was nice, and then they go home, but it doesn't substantially sometimes change anything about them or how they function. Well, one of the things in relationships that we are to be is we're to be merciful. You know, how many of us have wanted mercy from others only to find that we have not shown mercy to others ourselves? Jesus told the parable of the rich man who forgave a large debt to a man. Later, the same man, having been forgiven of the large debt, would not forgive another man a small debt that this man owed him. And when the first man heard what had happened, when the second man was harsh to the third man, he was furious. You can read about that in detail in Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. God was very clear to me that believers are to be merciful. Believers are also to be responsive. You know, many times we can see things, but we don't respond. But believers are to be responsive when a need is seen. Unfortunately, this response has not often been only to the physical needs of people, but it's been without regard to their spiritual needs or addressing their spiritual needs. Spiritual needs are also to be seen as well as the physical needs. Certainly, if a person is in such a physical state that their physical needs must be addressed, then that must be done. Your mind goes back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. When he saw the man beaten and laying alongside of the road, who was passed, as we know, by so many people, many of them religious people, but they didn't have time, or they didn't have the energy, or the inclination, or whatever. And the Samaritan came along and bound him up, and then took him where he could get some rest, and paid for what he perceived would be needed, and then said, if it's more than that, I'll pay when I come back, to meet whatever it costs. But he was willing to do whatever it took to help this unfortunate individual who had been on the side of the road. You see, when a person is without the benefit of Christ, the believer is required by Jesus himself, to deliver the gospel to such a person. To not do so would be to demonstrate a lack of obedience, as well as to demonstrate a total lack of compassion for the deceived and the lost individual. It's one thing to see somebody laying alongside of the road, beaten and in distress and needing help, and there certainly should be given help. There should be that desire to do that. But when you think that that person could also spend an eternity in hell not hearing about Jesus, that would be even a greater thing to pass them by and have nothing to do or to say to them. Because one of the other things that we were told to be there was we were to be compassionate. You know, what kind of compassion is that, to realize that somebody could spend eternity in pain and suffering when they could be told the good news of Christ and spend eternity with Him? You see, Jesus came because of God's compassion toward mankind, toward you and I. How can we, being forgiven so much, do less toward others? Just think of that. How could we do that? Our scripture in Paul's letter to the Philippians speaks of this in the first three verses. Let me read that again. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Believers have been united with Christ for the purpose of function, and this function is paramount, and this function is to administer the will of God and to let God administer His will through you during this life. Now, there's another interesting thing that the Holy Spirit spoke to me so loudly that it shocked me as I was going through the scriptures. He tells them later in chapter 2, down in verse 14, which we have not read because we stopped at verse 11, but he said, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Now, I would imagine if you've been around the church world for any period of time, you have always heard that we weren't supposed to murmur against the pastor or each other, and we weren't supposed to get in these big arguments and disputes and things of this sort. Well, that's true, and that's a part of it. But when the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this in a way I had never, ever perceived or conceived of, it was shocking. Did you know this goes beyond relationships among believers? Or for that matter, relationships with unbelievers? When we feel that we can limit God in our lives regarding laying hands on the sick or telling the gospel, we are murmuring and disputing with God Himself. Think about it. Have you ever said, oh, well, God, you know, that's just not my gift. Somebody else will have to do that. That's just not for me. This is for somebody else. Have you ever said to people, well, you know, some people do that, but that's just not my calling from God. It's not my calling to spread the gospel. It's not my calling to help people with healing. It's not my calling to do this or that. You realize when you're speaking that, you're murmuring, and you're murmuring against God. And when you're saying, oh, well, when the Lord tells you to do something and you say, oh, no, Lord, I can't do that, you're disputing with God. I'd never thought of that. This had always been between man and man, mankind disputing and murmuring. It's much more than that. The Holy Spirit made this so clear to me. He says, you tell my people that when they say they can't do what I've said they can do because I've told them they can do all things through Christ Jesus, and they tell me they can't or that they won't, they are engaging in murmuring and disputing with me. I can't tell you how humbled I felt at that moment, thinking back on the times when I had said to God, oh, well, no, that wouldn't be something for me to do. Certainly that would be something for somebody else to do. And then I realized that the greatest relationship we can have is not our relationship with our fellow man. Understand, that's important. But the greatest relationship we can have is with God Himself. To please God and to serve God and to be what He created us to be. You know, a few sessions ago, I talked about prepared in advance and how God had prepared each and every one of us for not to be little clones of one another, but to be individuals with a unique purpose in our life. And if God says that this is something that we can do and we say it's something we cannot do, we're murmuring and complaining and disputing with God. I just, even now, just talking about it again, it touches me so deeply. And I think about, wow, how many times I felt so good about myself and all the while I was also being rebellious by saying, oh, that's not something I would do, or that's not something I can do, when I know that the Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that Jesus said that I and every other believer was to go out into all the world and spread the gospel. Now, am I saying everybody's supposed to become an evangelist? Not in the way we think of evangelists today, but certainly we're all to be evangelists, to share the good news of Christ everywhere we go. And when someone is sick and we're called and told about it, we're not only to pray for them, but in many instances, if we can reach them, we're to go to them and lay hands on them and command them to get well in Jesus' name. You see, if we only are doing things in our own thoughts and our own spirit and our own way, how can God ever get the glory? But if we do it His way, which seems so foreign to us, what do you mean? No doctors do that. You know, a surgeon lays hands on somebody with a scalpel and he fixes that. But no, we were called to do those very things today. But when we dispute that, then how many times have we heard the surgeon get the praise, but all people will say, oh, well, God brought them through that surgery and this sort of thing. But do we really allow God to be in a position working through us? Not disputing or murmuring with Him, but just letting Him work through us the way He planned to from the foundation of the world to bring about His glory and His kingdom. I think many times I certainly have missed that, and probably you have on more than one occasion yourself. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on you here or bring you down, but it's important that we understand these things. And I wanted to share with you just what happened when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and pointed this out to me. It was absolutely amazing to me. And I hope that it's touched you too. But we're to be, as the Lord said to me, that sojourners are to treat others well, act nobly toward them, and be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as God the Father is compassionate. Well, that's the message for this session. And I hope that you've gotten something out of this and that you've been blessed by it. If you've never accepted Christ, if you're listening to this message and you've never accepted Christ, my friend, do it now. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to your throne and I come boldly because your word says that I can come boldly. And I say, forgive me for being so oblivious to you. Forgive me. I'm coming now. I want all there is of Jesus. I want the salvation offered through Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're in the kingdom of God now. Oh, you're still in the world, but you're not of the world. And if you'll allow God to work through you, to work on you, to work in you, and then to work through you, you will see the greatest changes. You will perceive so many things that you've never understood before. Now, if you're somebody who, you say sometime back, and you prayed the prayer, but you've kind of just kind of backed off from it a little bit, actually, that's what the word, when the scripture says, faint not, that's what that means. It just means to back off. It doesn't mean to pass out. It means just to back off. If you find that you've done that, just go to the throne boldly and tell the Father the same thing in Jesus' name and let Jesus be the Lord of your life, truly the Lord of your life, and His Holy Spirit fill you with power. Now, if you need some help with this, we'd love to help you. We'd love to work with you on it, get some information to you, help you grow in your knowledge and your understanding of God and His kingdom. You can contact me by simply Googling or phoning. Of course, then you'd have to phone it after you Googled it. 800-391-6944. That's 800-391-6944. Now, that's in the United States. If you're outside the United States and you want to contact us, you could easily contact us by contacting me through email. You can just contact me. The address is thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Now, let me spell sojourner for you, because sometimes people say they don't quite know how to spell sojourner. It's S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R. So thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Or if you're on Skype, you can Skype me at thesojourner3734. That's thesojourner3734. Well, that brings our time together to a close right now. So we'll sign off with this blessing to you. The blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.